Yeah, we have a fun little prank. Now
we're here to talk NBA Finals or
yeah,
Jon Snow or
so who do you like here?
What are we doing?
Let's take you back a couple of days to Sunday morning.
I mean, how is that course out there going to play?
My alarm goes off, and I don't know what time it was. Early in the morning on Sunday, and we have the alarm set to the radio, and the radio station of choice, oddly enough,
The Ticket
is The Ticket. And I hear the voice of Sean Bass. And I do not hear the familiar Sunday voice of Jake Kemp, who I've grown accustomed to hearing on Sunday mornings. Matter of fact, there was a little play of, I'm not sure where Jake is right now, and if anyone knows, might want to help us out a little bit. So I call Jake, go straight to voicemail, and I'm concerned about the guy because I just left him, you know, a few hours on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about his big weekend and his wife being out of town, and Jake's going to
go insane.
He's going to live life like an Allman Brother that weekend, and I was a little worried about him. Thought maybe things had taken a wrong turn.
He's going to go out into a field and butcher a cow
yeah.
and eat it right there.
Self-destruct at an oil boom concert.
And eventually he makes it in. I'd never heard from him or anything. A little bit late to the program. So what happened? Why were you late?
I did go to that aforementioned oil boom show, and it was awesome. Shipping and receiving. Had the outside concert there, which I'd never been to. I got drunk with Son of Stan and Stan. I don't know if you've ever met Son of Stan's
of course, Jorts.
Father of Stan. That was awesome. But I got home, you know, we do all of our show prep for Sunday on Saturday. You know,
you're ready
to go. You're ready
yes,
for it.
Of
you
course.
Pretty much just need to wake up and get here. So I got home. As you mentioned, my wife is out of town, and I am kind of bad at getting up early anyways. But she, with the two of us there, she's a failsafe. I usually, you know, I'm here in time. And I slept on the couch. You know, the move where you get home from the bar and you want to throw on some Sports Center, whatever. And I just slept there. So, I never plugged my phone in. And two, as we talked about in Why Today Doesn't Suck, I somehow flipped on the Do Not Disturb on my phone or something. Because when I eventually did wake up and it was, you know, 8:20, I had 20 missed calls. But I had never, my phone had never rang. And everyone up here was saying your phone kept going to voicemail. And it was also dead. I only saw the 20 missed calls once I plugged it back in. So my phone died, and I had it on some crazy phone blocking or call blocking mode, and I got up here at like 10 after 9. So okay. I missed the first third of the show. We start at 8:10 now.
And were you woken up? Because I talked to Sean later on as I was hatching this plan, and the psilocybin sea cow plays into this as well.
Whoa.
Were you woken up by your stepdad?
Yes. Yeah, he actually...
he thought you died.
Right. He actually drove to my house.
Because he heard you guys... He heard yeah. Sean flying solo saying he was worried about you.
I opened my door, and he could attest to this. I opened my door. I looked at him. And again, my phone is dead, so I didn't know what time it was. I looked at him, and I go, I think I just lost my job.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he goes, yeah. They're talking about it.
Oh, no.
So and again, this has never happened. I've been here at the start of the show before, but it takes me 40 minutes to get here on Sunday. But I've never been here late like that, you know?
Right. So I'm sure that was a real pleasant drive. Blood pressure real low as you're cruising along 30.
Well, I bet that Jerry Cantrell Ford was going about 150 on the way over here.
It's Texas Nissan, sir.
Or whatever.
Jerry Cantrell yeah. from Alice in Chains?
It's a late career move.
All right, so you get here, all is well, you know, no worries. Well, in my mind, I need to make sure that everything's cool. I call you that afternoon or that sometime after the show. We spoke, everything was fine, and I was like, okay, well, good. So then I start thinking, wow, this is a golden opportunity to play a gag on him that he's in a lot more trouble than he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call Sean Bass, and we talk about it for a little bit. I call the Sea Cow, and the Sea Cow and I have an interesting conversation about how this should play out. And actually, when he answered the phone, I go, dude, did you hear about Jake? And he's like, no. And I go, man, he was like an hour and change late to his show this morning. He goes, really? He's like, I didn't know. I just played football with him. I go, yeah. And he's suspended without pay for the rest of the week. And he goes, no way. I go, well, no, but that's what we're going to tell him. And I need to know if this is going to work or not. He's like, oh, okay, great.
Pro's pro. You've become really good at the test balloon.
Right. So I tell Sir, and then we're kicking things around what would be believable, what wouldn't be believable.
Right.
And he came up with the idea of, all right, how about this? Suspend him for the week, but he can get out of it if he can pass a drug test right there on the spot.
If he's confident enough that he can pass the drug test.
Just cuff and book me.
Then he gets to work
done
and get
and
paid.
Dusted.
Or he can take the zero.
And as Mike and I, we were at the Hangout Festival together just mere weeks ago. So
what does that mean?
We know the long and short of all of our histories. And so I was leaving it at that. Well, I call Kat. And I go, all right, dude, you're not going to like this. You're not going to want to do this, but it's just too easy. He's too susceptible. And Jeff goes, dude, I'm pissed, as he should be as a boss.
He was exceedingly cool to me about it based on what I expected, though. And I think part of it is that just that it was the first time that something like that had happened, he was a lot calmer about it than I expected him to be. So,
well, I called him, and he said that he goes, look, I can't make a bit out of this because I do need to actually talk to him about this. I can't just – I'm not real happy about it.
He wasn't mad about him being late. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, he was mad that you didn't call him.
Yeah, that you tried to let it just fly under the radar.
I mean, honestly, I 100% knew that he knew. I mean, it's a little tough to hide in this job if you're not here.
Right.
I knew he knew. I just – didn't think through, you know, calling him. I don't know. I screwed that up. But that's what helped sell this for you, is because that conversation we had, he and I, felt very real.
Oh, yeah. And I actually talked to you about that today.
Yeah.
And so what I told Jeff, what we decided was that, hey, all right, talk to him, give him the talking to. At the end of it, though, say, I still have to run this up the flagpole to Dan Bennett. And I have to tell Dan this story and leave it at that. Because the next day, which is today, he's going to call you in before Bad Radio and tell you, yes, that Dan Bennett has decided to set an example out of you and suspend you.
I've been made an example of before. That's not uncommon.
All right. Well, let's listen to how that audio went. And you guys tell me. Is Jake in a really good mood when he hears this news?
Okay.
So I talked with Dan yesterday. And man, I totally forgot about this, but I can't have you on the show Sunday. That's for sure. So I'm going to get a sub to do that. I've forgotten already that you're a repeat offender. And man, it's just because of all this stuff that he was talking about in the department head meeting yesterday. I mean, I've got to make an example out of this is unacceptable behavior. And even though you and I have already settled this on our own and already discussed it on our own, I gotta take some further action, unfortunately. I know today's your anniversary show, so you can do go
can you
ahead
pause
and work
it
here.
I mean, at this point, I am ghost white. I mean, I felt like I was going to vomit for about 30 seconds because...
What did you think was coming?
Anything was on the table. Like, if he would have told me that I was being let go, that I was being terminated and, you know, they're going to take me out of the building right now, that would not have been a complete shock to me because he's really good at selling that.
I know.
I mean, we're looking each other dead in the eye.
He's in a position of power.
Yeah, and he's, you know, kind of doing this. It's not really me. It's Dan, and Kat and I have a pretty good relationship, so that's believable, but I mean... I've had maybe three sentences of conversation with Bennett in my life. So
Bennett,
I don't know that he really knows
Mr. Bennett
anything about me.
Right.
But he's doing a really good job of making it, you know, this is as hard on me as it is on you.
Son.
Yeah. Throwing
out phrases like department head meetings.
Right. And then I distinctly remember whenever he said, so I've got to take further action. I just remember looking down at the ground like.
Here we go.
Over this, and over freaking oil boom.
And for the record.
It was a good show, but.
Not worth your career. And for the record, when I heard about this prank being hatched, I told Kat and Corby, it's like, dude, I love a good prank, but this is mean because this is a prank that will make a grown man cry.
Yeah, right. It's a prank.
Yeah.
I'm far off.
You walk through DFW Airport with a sack of Whataburgers and a $20 bill
yeah,
as a prank.
Yeah, but I didn't have tears in my eyes.
Yeah. All right, let's continue.
Some further action, unfortunately. Now, I know today's your anniversary show, so you can go ahead and work here today and do the show, but I'm not going to have you come in the rest of the week and be off on Sunday from the show, and then we're done.
All right, at that point,
yeah.
we're done.
What does that mean?
Well, I thought you're going to suspend me and then fire me? That seems like a gratuitous
can I just leave now?
Bit of double jeopardy. Yeah, like, I'm never going to see you again. In fact, I'm probably going to punch somebody because what do I have to lose now?
So here
I'm suspended and fired?
Jeff catches himself. He catches himself immediately, though, here.
I don't mean you're done here. I mean, but it's just a little bit out of my hands.
What?
I mean, not much I can say.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but I had totally forgotten about that other issue.
It is what it is. I mean, it's all on Tommy.
That's as deep and monotone as I've ever heard Jake's voice.
Well, what are you going to say?
It is what it is. It's
Am I supposed to be...
It's on me.
Hey, is it really that big of a deal? It was an hour
Come
late,
on,
old
bro.
Man.
Yeah.
Should give
Come
me
on,
a raise.
After, yeah. After all we've been through.
No, I mean, I completely screwed the situation up. I mean, it was completely on me. I mean, I had no defense at all.
And this is the funniest thing that you never heard this comment, Jake. But when I told this to Corby, I was like, man, this is really mean. He's going to cry. And Corby just looks at me and goes, don't be late. Coming yeah. from a man.
A guy who used to do his stringer reports with a bong in his lap on his couch, yes. pretending he was at old Arlington Stadium.
A man just.
Live from Arlington Stadium.
In the last 3 weeks has missed half of a show due to a delayed plane from being at Potfest 2015.
Don't be late.
Jerk.
It is what it is. I mean, it's all on Tommy. So. I mean, I'll live off day now.
I can do that. Or would you prefer to?
I mean, I would definitely prefer to. They're going to be...
Do they know what happened on Sunday?
I don't know. It didn't come up.
Right. Okay, well, let me know if you want me to be a part of that or do that instead.
No, I will. So...
Dude, and he's just letting
it... I know.
He's letting it twist.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I love the pauses. I love them so much.
So.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know.
Get up and walk away.
Oh, my God.
He's on hold.
All right.
I can't even believe I just.
Jeff, to our leader, Jeff Catlin, joins us now. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
You're mean. So mean.
In his defense, he did not want to do this.
I know.
And I pushed and poked pretty hard.
Yeah, you did. Your prank pants were flying around pretty hard on Sunday.
I believe I used the word, my prank boner is quite large right now.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Sir, Lord.
Management doesn't speak in those
terms. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
What I said was, I really can't do this. And you just kept pushing me. And then what I said today was, after this was all done and I'd done my part, I'm retired from pranks now because I think I have many gold records on the wall in my office for pranks being completed.
Boy, you do.
This one was rough.
You're definitely the assist leader in pranks all time.
Yes.
Prank Rick Rubin.
And what Jake said is, those pauses is because I'm trying to get – well, first of all, I know it's going to be tense. And so I'm trying to get – to stop so you can feel the tension, but I'm also wanting Jake to say something because I know I'm recording it.
All right.
And so if I just pause and can take a breath and it forces Jake to say something and he just wasn't saying anything.
He wasn't real happy, it turns out.
The only reason I said I would do this is because this is part of his punishment for being a dumbass on Sunday.
Yeah,
totally.
All right, hey, this will please you. Let's take a quick break and come back because Jake came back into your office and tried to broker a deal with you concerning the suspension. And I want to hear exactly how that went. Okay, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do Rangers coming up next, but right now we have more on this with Jake.
Yes, quick recap here. Jake was late to his Sunday show. He overslept. His phone was screwed up. There were many circumstances that led to him being late for his show on Sunday morning. And Jeff Catlin, our boss, and I came up with an idea of pranking him.
Came up with an idea.
Yeah, it was me. came up with the idea that Jake needed to be suspended, or at least told that, and without pay and all that, and we knew he'd take it very badly. We played the audio for you with his interaction with Jeff. You were pretty stone-faced and clearly upset, as anybody would be. And you walk out of there, and I don't know if you went and talked to Bob and Dan immediately. What was your first move?
I was so shocked. And not in a way that I was mad at Cat or mad at Dan Bennett. I was just so upset with myself, and I just was trying to think through the implications of Summer Bash is Friday. I'm doing a – this sounds really silly in the grand scheme of things, but I'm doing a NBA draft, like, pregame show with Justin and Machine on Thursday night. We have – Bad Radio is a complicated show, I feel like, to put together and plan every day, and I just started thinking, this is going to be terrible. Like – this is going to be the most embarrassing thing that ever happens to me in my life. I'm going to have to tell my wife why I'm home. It was just, my head was spinning. And then we had the Bad Radio meeting, and I just thought, you know, before I tell them about this, I think I want to go back into Kat's office and ask if I can go talk to Dan Bennett.
And they were aware of the prank. Clearly, I told them and was, you know, thinking that they could kind of poke the hippo a little bit and get you going. But they didn't have the chance because, yeah, you wanted to plan your second move.
I did not bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff, how did it go down when he came back into your office?
It was terrible. I felt horrible. And, you know, part of the reason why I agreed to go along with this in the first place was it was Tuesday and not Monday. And then secondly, I knew the plan was to let Jake off the hook at Why Today Doesn't Suck. So it was basically 3.5 or 4 hours of torture, not a day or 2 days or whatever. But he came back into my office and he pulled, you know, my move on me. He's like, hey, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, oh, man, this is not good. And he was just really, really sad. And I really thought he was about to cry. I felt horrible because no matter what he said, no matter what you said, Jake, I was just going to have to, like, try and put you off or whatever. And so you said, yeah, I really want to have a chance to talk to Dan Bennett. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is great. I'm like, yeah, sure. I think that's a good idea. Maybe we can go in there together. And so he tells me, look, I want to go and talk to Dan Bennett. And I really want to be here for the next 3 days, and it's important because, you know, Bad Radio's on a roll, and we have a big show today, and we've got Summer Bash and all the things you mentioned. He goes, man, I'm willing to work a month without pay if I can just work these 3 days, which is the stupidest thing ever. I mean, you know, come on. Everybody has bills to pay and whatever. But I appreciate it, but I really felt bad because he was really on the verge of breaking down. And I thought to myself, okay, look, man, if Jake breaks down, I'm going to have to let him off the hook. I'm not going to let this guy cry in my office.
Meanwhile, Jake's looking at his calendar and he's got his mortgage calculator out.
No, I had done the math. You
know, he was.
I was going to ask. I had basically sent a, hey, I need to talk to you, sort of text to my wife who's out of town again, and was going to say, hey, I need you to slide me a few $100. I'm going to be missing a couple paychecks, but trust me, it's worth it. And in my mind, it was worth it. It was worth it not to go through the embarrassment of having to talk to Bob and Dan and having to – really, because it's punishing them too. I mean, they would have had to have a fill-in producer – it's punishing Sean more than I already did by making him do an hour by himself on Sunday. So I started thinking it's worth it to me to miss a couple paychecks to just make this go away.
Let me clue you in on one thing. Dan Bennett is worse to deal with than Bob and Dan on their worst day. But anyways, that was a slight miscalculation on your part. But so that's what his plan was. And so I said to Jake, look, that's fine. If you want to go and talk to Dan Bennett on this, he's a reasonable guy. We'll sit down. As a matter of fact, so I'm giving him an olive branch, too, because he's so upset that I'm trying to buffer this in any way. I said, you know what, man? I'll even go in there with you if you want, and we can talk to Dan together after the show at, like, 3:30. And, of course, knowing full well that by 3:10 or 3:20, he's going to be completely let off the hook. And that seemed to work.
So I spent the next 3 hours, you know, it was good that we had a lot of replays today on Bad Radio, because as soon as we would get the segment going, I would start thinking and, like, even writing out notes on, all right, what do I want to hit on here? Like, I was doing, like,
how do I approach this Bennett guy?
Handwritten PowerPoints, and I'm like, yeah, Cattle back
right,
me up
so
on
what,
that part.
What were some of these bullet points you were going to hit on?
Well, I guess my thing is, I don't really know if he knows for, I know he knows what you guys do, but I don't know if he knows that I'm here all the time, that.
I promise you he doesn't.
Look, Jake is an incredible. Let's
that I'll show up on a moment's notice, that you can call me on Tuesday night and say, do Gordon's job Wednesday morning.
He doesn't care about that.
I
he
got
works
off
his
my
ass
flight
off
for the honeymoon and drove straight here. You know, I just wanted to let him know this is my everything. This is, I care about this more than anything else in my life. I will do anything to not have to sit out the next 3 days of work, including keep this measly two paychecks or whatever.
You know what
okay,
would have been awesome?
So you go in there and you tell him that very thing, and his next question is going to be, yeah, okay, now, what do you do here?
Yeah. I thought that might be possible.
You know what would have been awesome is if, Jeff, you would have just signaled in to Dan and like, hey, Jake wants to come in and talk to you for a second.
Huh? All right. Send him in.
And he has no idea what's coming. And then you lay this what? Huge
I'm
template
weeping
out there. Yeah, you're crying at his feet, kissing his shoes.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Pushing the button to catch. Hey,
can you get security to get this kid out of here, please?
Could have been worse.
That would have been awesome. Well, it all worked out in the end. That's the good part about pranks, is in the end, you're always, you're happier than when it was all laid out for you.
I was hoping that was the case, but actually listening today during Why It Doesn't Suck to letting him off the hook, I really didn't think Jake was all that relieved. I think he was still upset, and his head's been reeling all day.
Without question.
I don't think he's over it yet.
But he seems pretty relieved now.
When you brought it up on the air, in my mind, you weren't aware that I had been given an opportunity to go talk to Dan Bennett. And I'm like, no, he's screwing
I'm ruining
this,
it.
He's screwing this whole deal up. Kat and I are going to go in there as a team and try to fix this. And I've offered to not get paid. And so now you're telling Bob and Dan, and I didn't know that they knew. So I thought,
I was really ruining
you?
It. Yeah.
I thought maybe Kat just didn't have a chance to.
And like that, I would bring it up on the air,
yeah,
like making fun of.
What a jerk!
He still didn't know that it was a joke. God.
Brutal. But you do a really good job of picking on the times whenever I have nothing to say. Like, I got drunk at Barry Switzer's house. You can prank me. It's not, these are, there's nothing I can say.
No.
You're in the right. It's not like you're doing this to some innocent bystander. I've created these messes. You've just made them 100 times bigger both times.
Yeah, the Switzer prank, too, was the best because Jake is passed out in the car on the way back to Dallas with TC driving. And someone, it may have been TC, it may have been me, was like, man, we should prank Jake. And
yeah,
he's sitting
one. Who knows
one,
who it was?
Yeah, he's sitting 1 inch away from us as we're hatching this plan. And like, all right, someone's going to poke him and wake him up. And then we're going to tell him that he broke Barry Switzer's Super Bowl trophy in his office. And it worked.
You pick on him when he's at his most vulnerable.
It worked, yes.
Well,
yeah, there is a larger lesson to be learned in all this, Jake, and I hope you've learned it.
What?
What would that be?
People win on the ticket?
People do win?
Don't be late. And two, don't go out and party balls when your wife's out of town. That's what she's going to tell you.
That is a very good point.
Or you can just quit your weekend show like I did. You have nothing to worry about.
You need about 10 more years of it before you can quit it, though.
Well, so have you had that discussion with her?
I have not, no.
About partying balls on weekend when she's out of town?
She came back and was like, why'd you have to wash the sheets? I'm like, I don't know. It's just gross. I was just dirty. I may have wet the bed. I don't even know. I don't even know. Well, thank you for letting me off relatively easy.
Jeff, master work as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would like to announce my retirement from pranking at the ticket.
All right. Fine. Sean Bass's turn as assistant program director.
Or Kellison.
Or Killer, yeah.
He's believable.
All right, Jake. Love you.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Bye, Jeff.
Go.